Turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to be continuing. If you're visiting here with us tonight, we're going to be, this is our third class on faith partners. They say, what are faith partners? We've been studying this out the last 2 weeks. Faith partners are people that are going to be vested in your life, and you're going to be vested in their life. Helping them grow, helping them thrive, praying for them, being with them, and creating a great friendship that you can carry on for eternity. And we're going to be looking at this scripture. If you call and think yourself as a Christian, you have to ask yourself, who are my two? Okay, who are my two? We've been talking about this the last 2 weeks. And let me ask as a question. Describe for me, who are the two? The two key relationships that we need to thrive as disciples, as the Bible describes it. Raise your hand if you want to. Yeah, Margie.
That person who never speaks, and that a peer relationship.
Exactly. These are my two. Someone who's going to be mentoring me in my faith. Someone older. Someone who's been through it. Maybe wiser. Maybe stronger spiritually. That will mentor not only me, but also our partnership. And then the other is my faith partner. The person that I'm going to be side by side with. And this is what's described in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Look what Peter says here. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. You see, God, He gave us birth, He gave us a new life, with what purpose? To have great relationships. That should be our natural response. And as we've talked about the last 2 weeks, typically in our culture, in our society, people get isolated. People get independent.
Yeah.
And that's not the biblical way. That's not Christianity. We need people in our lives. We need people in our marriages. And the more people we have involved, the more people that can help us grow and thrive. And we can do the same. That's called deep love for one another.
Yeah.
That was one of Jesus' most important focuses. He emphasized it. If you're going to follow me, love one another. Even love your enemies. People you may not get along with naturally. So that is the response. If you're visiting here with us today, Christianity is summed up in these words, love one another deeply. And if that's not a part of your life, then you need to really check it out and go back to the Scriptures and ask yourself, who are my two? Who are my two? So let's begin. Today we've looked at a lot of Scriptures in the last 2 weeks, and today we're going to get a visual. What does faith partnerships look like? We are made righteous by love and honesty. Love is not a choice. Love is not an option. It's an obligation. It's not just a need that we have. Love is the emphasis of Jesus' commands. Also, love covers our sins. The righteous will live by faith, expressing itself through love. We are made righteous by love and honesty. This is what we talked about last week. Partnership is the emphasis of this book, the New Testament part of it. This is the emphasis. Due to our past hierarchical culture, strong leadership is required to build partnership because we have a paradigm. And this is a paradigm shift. So we need some structure. We need some leadership in this department. We need help so that this will happen. It will not happen on its own. Oh yeah, I like faith partnership. And then nothing happens. We really need initiative to begin this partnership culture. Building mutual relationships involves structure. We need to formalize this. Who is your faith partner? Something we need to be talking about in our faith groups in the coming weeks. Who's are my two? Who's going to be my faith partner? And the faith group leaders will be talking about that with you and figuring out a plan so that each person can have a faith partner. And we need strong teaching like we've been receiving and follow-up exercises. Faith partnerships grow by being discipled or trained. It just won't happen. So we're going to be getting some ongoing training about faith partnerships. Here's what it looks like. You've got your faith group leader on the left there, and then he works with and mentors the faith partnership. In the past, it was one-to-one. Now it's the mentor will disciple the partnership. He will help the partnership, the two of them, so that they will help each other. It forms a triangle. And this is considered a faith group, part of a faith group as we know it. And we want disciples to mature into being partners, meaning they grow to have friendships where their friendship and their relationship is mutual. We're here to help each other. It's not one over the other. It's I'm here to help you, you're here to help me. And sometimes we're not familiar with those relationships. And here's the emphasis. Okay, what's the focal point of a faith partnership? Okay, what goes on in a faith partnership? Number one, the most important thing in a faith partnership is encouragement. Can you read that? No. All right, the E stands for encouragement. The M stands for meaningfulness. Meaning it's got to have some substance to it. We've got to have something beyond, hey, how are you? How did you like the Lakers game last night? Okay, something more than that. All right? How's your day? How's it going at home? Here, let me tell you what's going on with my life. Some meat, something meaningful. It's also got to have some passion. You know, some of us need more passion in life. We're a little flat. Life gets us flat. Don't let anyone or anything make you flat. Life is not to be lived just getting by. We're not robots. We're not mummies. We're not zombies. Don't let life wear you down. I don't want to let the church wear me down, all the problems and situations. My decision is no. I want to be full of zeal for God.
Amen.
No matter how many problems, no matter, oh man, this is getting tough. Well, I need to pray more. I need more help from my faith partners. And then humility. Faith partnership requires humility. To be vulnerable. Also, as we've talked about here tonight, I think Armando prayed about it. The A stands for admonishment. If you truly love somebody and you see something going on in their life, what would you do if you care? You're going to admonish them. You're going to point it out to them. In love, obviously, you care. But you're going to let them know. You know, if you see someone's going to fall off a cliff, you're going to say, hey, stop. Don't walk that way. Turn back this way or go to the left, go to the right. You're not going to say, oh, you know, I just feel bad about telling him or telling her, man, he's going to be headed for destruction. Help him out. That has to do with couples and their marriage. That has to do with, you know, parents with the children. It's great to have Mike, but Mike and I had a good talk. And I said, Mike, if you see some needs, I want to encourage you to talk to parents. You got to care. But in our faith partnerships, you have to care enough to admonish and help each other. It's going to require courage. And then the S stands for sacrifice. It will not be easy. You may feel tired. I got to get with my faith partner tonight. You know, and sometimes we get in this mentality. 2 weeks ago we talked about this in our faith group leaders meeting. Filling sandbags. Sometimes life can be about filling sandbags. You know, and that's all it is. It's not very much fun to fill sandbags. And that's all I do is fill sandbags. What if you're filling sandbags to save a village? Makes it different, doesn't it? That talk, that meeting that you're going to have with your faith partner, where you felt tired, may change the rest of his life and may change your life. We have to think bigger. This is all part of a plan to get us to heaven and to get other people to heaven. So sometimes it will require sacrifice. The I is for intimacy. Means closeness. We're going to talk about things that are close to our heart. And then the S is spirituality. Obviously, God's got to be in and all over this relationship. Many disciples don't have the resources to maintain a partnership. They are not set or sourced for partnership. So this is a process. Okay, we're learning about this, but we're going to continue to grow in it. It may take us a few months, but it's a beginning process. Disciples may not be sourced for partnerships for different reasons as having a challenging life circumstance. There are some exceptions to having a faith partner. Number one, let's say you've got a challenging health condition that no one else can relate to. I mean, a real one. I mean, a real serious one. I'll give you an example. Lori Campbell has a very serious health issue. She may not feel like she can partner up with somebody because no one understands. So she's going to need a person helping her, encouraging her, that one-on-one relationship, but maybe not as a faith partner. She'll be in a position to receive. Or somebody older, you know, a 90-year-old disciple. You know, he may not feel like nobody can relate to me. So he'll still receive the mentoring and the encouragement, but may not receive the partnering. A new Christian, for example, somebody's a new disciple. They're not quite ready for partnering yet. So in this case, we're going to see it later in the presentation, they'll be receiving two people to help that new Christian out. A partnership will adopt that new Christian to help him out. Splash. Can you see that? That's a new disciple. He's fired up. Okay? He's on fire for God. Okay? A partnership, not an individual. And disciples, those that are not sourced for partnership, like a new disciple. Here's the example. A faith partnership would help the new disciple. So it's the reverse triangle. They help, the two help one. As they receive from one, they can give to one. So a new disciple would be discipled by two people, not one. And they would form an expanded faith group. So this is what it looks like in a faith group. You get the faith group leader, he helps a partnership, who helps a new disciple, and there could be several partnerships in a faith group. And the two help our new disciple. They got his arms around him. Settle down. No. Keep the fire. Don't tell him to settle down. That's what we try to do sometimes. We tell him to calm down. No, let him get on fire. Keep the fire hot. Learn from him. And so you got your faith group leader who disciples the partnership, who disciples the new disciple. 1/2 and 2/1 in this case. All right, let's talk about discipling. Discipling is a tool. A tool. And that's an acronym. We're going to see what that means. The tool, the T for the tool is training at its most involved or at least in an outside perspective or look. That's what tool means. It means somebody that has a perspective from outside of the relationship. Sometimes a faith partnership might have a need where they, you know, they're not coming to an agreement on something. That's when a faith mentor can come in there and help them out. Give an example. As you train someone who's a young child, as parents do, you know, when they get older, they can grow up into being your peers. Discipling or training people to have healthy partnerships is an effective in building maturity. As a parent, I long for the day that my children won't be my children, but then they can be what? My peers. I have a peer relationship with my dad. Now, he is, you know, 83 years old, going on 83. But we talk. And he asks me questions. We talk about life. He tells me about his health. It's not like when I was a little kid anymore. We have a relationship. There's dialogue. He expresses to me concerns that he has about our family and things that he's feeling, what he's going through in his health. But that takes training. And in the same way, for people to grow in the church, we need training. We need people involved in our lives. A child growing up to take care of his parents is a rare and lengthy process. Not all the kids in our family, parents, you can kind of go through your kids and say which one might be the one to grow up and take care of you one day. And then there may be one or two that you say, no, I don't think he's the one or she's the one. Right? Or we don't want him to be the one. Or she. Okay? That's a rare case. Okay? But you think about the longevity of what we're creating. Faith partnerships is so that we can grow for the long haul and mature. Too often we're thinking about this week and next week, and we're not thinking about the long-term prosperity of and the progress of the gospel and of the church. And not enough of us are growing and thriving. because we're not involved and we're not looking up and looking out. Parents do that. And as a faith mentor, it's your responsibility to help that partnership grow. And one day you're going to be someone who mentors a faith partnership, and you want to see them grow. It's a much more future thinking perspective, like parents do. Romans 1, verse 11. I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift and make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Paul's calling the church in Rome to a peer relationship. I'm going to encourage you, and guess what? You're going to encourage me. Too often in the past, we had a perspective of, gimme, 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 gimme. Right? And we created that. But we need to level things off. That's why partnering is so important, that it's about giving. What can I give back to the relationship? What can I give back to the church? How can I help everybody to thrive and we may be mutually encouraged? And let me say this tonight. Not many of you are coming prepared to encourage one another with your faith news. I'm sure something's happened in the last few weeks in your life around you that you can encourage the fellowship. But it's not in our nature to think, I'm here to encourage somebody. It's rather, okay, what's going to be taught tonight? In other words, I'm here to take. I'm not here to give. You see, we need to be mutually encouraged. What are you going to give me tonight? What can you do to encourage me tonight? That needs to be our mentality. It's a paradigm shift of we're giving to each other. We're helping each other. Even on Sunday. You know, some of us, we drag into church. You know, it's been a long week and we just barely make it through the door. You need to pray for strength so that you can come in and come in on time or even early. And the brothers and sisters that prepare the service, man, it means a lot to them if you're here on time and you encourage them and you give to them and you mutually encourage. They're encouraging you with the music. And that you encourage them with your faith and your smile and you're involved in the worship. It's a give and take. Are you with me on this point? Are you hearing me? This is important. Mutual encouragement. That's what it is. Now, sometimes in a faith partnership, what have you got? A guy who's kind of a referee or an umpire. That may be, but that's not the eventual case. Someone discipling someone to partner with others is kind of like a parent helping brothers and sisters get along. But the long-term goal is they're going to get along and they're going to thrive, and he doesn't have to be around all the time. Okay? But that is the goal. Ephesians 4, in verse 11, it says, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be, what? Built up. Remain the same? Built up. Until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? What's your expectation, parents, of your kids? How'd you like them to come walking into service at 17 years old and they're fist sucking the thumb?
Not this.
Huh?
No, not this.
That wouldn't fire you up, right? And I'm saying they're normal. Okay? They're reasonably. That wouldn't fire you up. Your goal as a parent is you want to see them mature and grow and thrive. That needs to be our goal in the church. God has a plan for each one of us. To thrive, to become more like Christ, to become more like Jesus, to be transformed more and more into being great disciples who can help other people. And God has His plan. And then it says, attaining the whole measure in the fullness of Christ. Verse 16, for Him, from Him, the whole body, joined together and by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up, as each part does its work. Every part of our body. And faith partnerships will allow that. Everybody's connected. Everybody's helping one another. Everybody's looking for a way to mutually encourage the body. Amen? Are you with me on that? Discipling's role in a partnership. Discipling is a tool that matures people into having healthy partnerships. It's to help that partnership thrive. Discipling is a form of leadership. Not friendship or partnership. Okay, it's different. That mentoring relationship. This does not mean a discipler cannot be your friend. Absolutely he can be your friend. But he has a responsibility. This does not mean a discipler should not be your friend. Absolutely he should, could be your friend. But it's different. Who am I to? Partnership is the emphasis. Discipling is the tool to build partnerships. Who am I to? We should have at least two significant, consistent, and intimate relationships within our faith group. Our partner and our discipler. A partner set. Two disciplers. Two partners. Meet weekly. What's the expectation? And this is where some of the structure and the formality comes. You know, if you don't set up a time with somebody, it's not going to happen. If you don't have an expectation in mind, it's not going to happen. And this is the importance. Like, for example, our faith groups. How often do our faith groups for the married adults? How often do we meet? Every other week, right? And that's part of our structure, right? What if we just said, now you know what? Meet when you want to. Everybody, you know, don't worry about it. The calendar is there, but you don't have to do it. Whenever you want. We had a period of time in our church not too long ago when we didn't have it, right? Did people meet? Now, a lot of people didn't. Structure's needed. Consistency. When are we going to meet? And you know what? I like it. And I think we like it when we eat together. You as a parent say, hey kids, we're going to eat this night and this night and this night during the week together as a family. Man, let me tell you, that's needed. Because if you don't, guess what happens? You're going to be flying by each other. Johnny's going to eat in his room. Susie's going to eat, you know, in the TV room. And everything's, that's not the way it needs to be. So it's the same way with a faith partnership. Meeting weekly in a partnership or in a discipling faith group. That could be your faith group also could be a part of that. Relationships that build faith. For partnering, the obstacles and problems are these. Okay, because there's obstacles. Scheduling. Not getting together. I'm too busy. You're going to have to overcome these obstacles. You're going to have to find a way when to get together. You know, come to an agreement on when that can happen. Respect also could be an obstacle. Well, I just don't respect him. Or he doesn't respect me. And you're going to have to deal with that. There has to be a decision on both. We're going to mutually respect each other. I don't know what to say. You know, you get together and you... So, how's it going? What'd you think of the game last night? You know? You're going to have to break through that initially. And really find some substance. Those are obstacles that may happen. Develop a conviction that partnership is an emphasis over hierarchy. And submit your partnership to discipling and getting help. Respect. See the spirit of to overcome negativity. You know, sometimes we just have a half-empty mentality. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. We have to overcome that with a half-full mentality and become half-full people. Right? That's what faith is. Find value in each other. And believe in praying for each other. You know, it encourages me a lot when people tell me they're praying for me. Because then I go, that's why. You know, I went to a meeting this morning with John and, you know, it was a pretty good meeting. Wasn't it? I was encouraged. I got home and my wife said, I prayed for you in that meeting. Isn't that nice? And you know, I felt her prayers. Now, I also prayed earlier that morning about the meeting, but you know, you can't limit prayers. You've got to believe that somebody in your life praying for you makes a huge difference. And it did today. I believe that. But the least you can do with a faith partner is pray together. There's power in prayer. Insight to follow. Praying for each other. Moving God to move the ministry. Who moves the church? Now really, who moves the church? God does. But are you praying about that? Too often we're looking at men and people and organizations. Well, I wish Robin would get it together with the music ministry. Sorry, just making an example. Right? Or, you know, I wish Steve would get those guys together in the sound because the sound's not working right. How much time have you spent praying for these people? How much time have you spent praying for our church? And even when we got special missions contribution coming in 2 weeks, A week and a half. How much time have you really spent praying, God bless it? Send us some money. Send us some people that could help us out here. We want to see the churches thrive. But praying, moving God to move the ministry. And some of your faith groups, if you want to see your faith group thrive, what should you do about it? Pray about it. In our relationships and faith partnerships and faith groups. James 5:16. Therefore confess your sins to each other. And what? Why? So you may be healed. Who needs healing here tonight? Really? Man, I need some healing. You know? We all need some healing. But that's going to come through prayer and confession. The prayer of a righteous man is what?
Powerful.
Do you believe that? What about an imperfect man? It's still powerful because we're praying to a perfect God. We're praying to a powerful God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about who we pray to. He moved mountains. He stopped the rain for 3 years. You don't think He can work out your problems? Absolutely. In our relationships and also in our outreach. Colossians 4:2. We talked about this with our faith group leaders. To pray for open doors and to be taught at another time. Okay, so here's poetry in motion. Our partnerships and faith groups. Pray for each other. These are four things that you can do with your faith partner. Okay, what do I do during our faith partner time? Number one, pray for each other. Number two, be open with each other. Number three, encourage each other. Can you find something good to say to him or her? Yeah, absolutely. And then number three, time spent consistently with each other. That's poetry or poet in motion. Okay, transitioning from discipling to a partnership culture. Here's what it looks like. This is the old school. See it? How many of you know what a D-tree is? Huh? Old school leaders. Remember D-trees? We don't have D-trees anymore. Okay? We're going to have a different type of setup. We're going to do partnerships. This is what it looks like. Old school. Okay? Tribe partnership, partnering disciples. This is what it looks like. The two guys leading are partners. And they help a partnership. Okay? Have the disciples from partnerships. You see how it's working? People become... He helps the partnership. They help the partnership. And this is a young disciple here. And they help them. See? It's no longer a tree. What is it now? It's a partnership. I don't know what it is, but it's not a tree. What do we want to call it? But it's not a tree anymore. It's not a pyramid. You know what it is? It's a partnership. It's a body. Okay? It's people helping one another grow and thrive. This is the biblical model. More of the biblical model. And here are some faith groups. Okay? Obviously in our group. And you like this slide, right? So this is, I know this is somewhat new. We're doing a paradigm shift in our church. But in your faith group, I want you to be talking this week about your partnerships. Okay, how's it going to look? It may take some time. It may not be, okay, we got it. You. Okay, you're going to have to pray about it. Let it be a spiritual decision where God moves. But the main thing that you want is, who am I to? Who am I going to be involved in and who's going to help me with that partnership to thrive? Okay? All right, let's finish with the prayer. And then what we can do is break up into our small groups and have a brief prayer time, talk about what we've heard. And then you're dismissed. And we'll see you on Sunday with the new series that we're starting. Let's pray. God, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for the tools that we have. I pray for our friends that are here visiting, God, that they can be encouraged about the plan that You have to have people involved in their lives. God, we know there's a lot of lonely people out there that have no relationships or think they have relationships when there are really no relationships at all, God. We pray that You'll help us as a church to put into practice what Jesus commanded, to build relationships that will last for an eternity. God, that we can help each other to grow and thrive, and that we can celebrate the victories together when we see our families transformed, when we see our lives changed, and we build great friendships along the way. God, thank you for the gift of friendship. Thank you for the gift of love. Help us, God, to make the most of it among ourselves. We love you. We need you. Bless your church and bless our time of fellowship. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.